If you come in, see me afterwards, I'll put you on the list. Now, we're going to look at Ephesians in chapter 3. We looked at it Sunday morning, and I just want to pick up on this prayer. I think I may have spoke on it before here, so I made it different to the last time I shared it. Not that I'm expecting you to remember much of it, because as preachers, we always imagine you hang on every word. I mean, now in reality, you think, have you? Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I'm sure on Saturday, when you have your special meeting with Peter Mead on spiritual gifts, he will probably mention there are at least 22 spiritual gifts identified in the New Testament. There are 6 main Bible passages, 22 different gifts are listed. And he'll probably mention the fact that if you're a believer, you have at least one gift that you need to discover, hone, and use for God's glory. Now, some of you clever folks have got 2 or 3, or even more. Spiritual gifts, God-given, to enable you to do God's work, to serve his people. Now, when it comes to prayer, the topic we looked at Sunday and tonight, there is no gift of prayer. No gift of prayer. Every Christian starts on the same level playing field. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for 50 years or for 5 minutes. Prayer is something that, it's like exercise, something you develop. No one runs a marathon the first day they buy themselves a pair of trainers and a pair of shorts. You run to the end of the street. Then you run around the block. Then you run around the block twice. Then you go for a couple of miles. You build it up. And the more you build it up, the better you become at it. And prayer is similar. We start small. It is a discipline. And we just try and expand it a little bit here, a little bit there, until it becomes routine and more meaningful. So unlike a spiritual gift that only certain people have, certain people can preach, certain people can encourage better than others, certain people have the gift to be a pastor, a shepherd. Every Christian can pray. Every Christian. Now, whenever you take small kids for a walk, one thing I've discovered in life is this: they cannot appreciate the view. I've been there with my 2 children when they were small. We took them to some fantastic places, and you say, "Hey kids, look at that." And they'd say, "What?" And you say, "No, no, look at that." And they'd say, "What, Dad, what?" "No, just look at that. Look at the mountains, look at the sea, look at..." And what? "Oh, can we move on?" They just can't appreciate the big picture. When it comes to prayer, always appreciate the big picture. And what is the big picture? What are we to look at? God. God. Oswald Chambers said, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on our circumstances. Maybe that's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father, where? In heaven. Hey, we have a big God. He's in a big place and he can do big things. So when you pray, appreciate the view. Look up. Not down or around or within. There's times for that, but always start big with God. And in this benediction, the Apostle Paul focuses our thoughts on God. And he wants us to put our trust in him. Remember verse 13. Do not lose heart, he says. And therefore he introduces this prayer of encouragement. Strengthen your grip. Grasp hold of this God. He will encourage you when life seems discouraging. Now, there's a word that theologians like to use about God. It's omnipotent. Omnipotent. It means all-powerful, invincible, unstoppable, supreme. And it reminds us that God's power is unlimited and infinite. He never grows tired. And like John there, he doesn't need an afternoon nap. He never deteriorates with age. And like John there, he hasn't got glasses. His batteries never run down. He never needs recharging. He never burns himself out. and needs refueling. God is powerful, infinite, omnipotent. And yet, when you read your Bible, you never come across the word omnipotent. It's not in there. Theologians like to use it, and I used it often. It's a good word. But the Bible uses a different word to describe God's awesomeness. It calls him almighty. 345 times in the Bible, God is described as almighty. And that is a word reserved for God alone. No one else in the entire Bible is ever described as almighty. There is only one who is almighty, that is God. To quote Psalm 89 verse 8, O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. I love the way A.W. Tozer, he was a writer and a preacher from a past generation, he puts it this way. God possesses what no creature can, an incomprehensible plenitude of power, a potency that is absolute. Now, it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's a good quote. To paraphrase it, he's saying nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. He is almighty. And when we realize we've got a big God, hey, we can tap into that resource in the right sense of the word and know his power in our lives and in our circumstances. Now, the benediction just expands the idea that he is able. He is able. And that's the first point I want to make tonight. When I was a kid, I never read books. I didn't become a Christian until I was about 17. And books, we never read books in our house. We read papers, we read magazines, and we read comics. And I had a paper round, which gave me access to everybody's comics in the area. Instead of delivering them Tuesday morning, I could read them and deliver them Tuesday evening. So I got three comics, and everyone got them slightly late. Just careful not to crease them. So I love comics, and there was a section in the back of comics when I was a kid. There was one page that just sold gems for a teenager. Tricks. You could buy chewing gum that if someone had it, their teeth would turn black. Or you had sugar cubes that contained fart powder and you'd sneak them into somebody's cup of tea. Or ice cubes, and if you look carefully, you could see there was an insect in it, and as the ice melted, something, it was only plastic, floated, you know. For a kid, this was just brilliant. I must get some. But the number one thing I had to buy, x-ray specs. There was a picture of a guy who looked at his hand, it was normal. He put on the x-ray specs, looked at his hand, and it was a skeleton. I've got to get some of those. So I saved up my pocket money, went down the post office. Now, this will give my age away. Brought a postal order. If you know what one of those is, see John afterwards. Got myself a postal order, sent it off. And in the days before Amazon, that meant it could arrive anywhere between 2 and 4 months. Okay, no such thing as Amazon Prime. And you waited and you waited. I remember the day they came. And I rushed up to my bedroom and I put them on. And they had one green lens and one red lens. And you put them on and you looked at your hand and it was reddy green. That's it. Couldn't see the bones, couldn't see the veins, couldn't see anything. And your heart sank. And you knew that actually adverts didn't always deliver what they promised. I'm glad when it comes to the God of the Bible, he always delivers on what he promises. Our God is able. Able. There was an advert for Ronsil varnish and paints, wasn't it, years ago, and it used to say, it does exactly what it says on the tin. Well, our God does exactly what it says in the book. He is able. Secondly, he is able to do. He's able to do. See, all I've said so far may be good theory, but what about practice? How does that information that God is almighty affect me as an individual? Well, two little words. To do. He's able to do something that involves me. Dr. Judson is one of my missionary heroes. And if you get the opportunity to read the biography, I think there's only one book out on Judson. There's a kids' DVD in the Heroes of Faith series, but there's only one book on Dr. Judson. He was one of the first missionaries from nonconformist, our type of churches, to go to places like India. And in 1831, he settled in Rangoon in Burma. And later, war broke out between Burma and the English government of India. And he was arrested and accused of being a spy and put in prison. He lay in a prison cell and he had 32 pounds of chains around his ankles. So he was like the Apostle Paul in Acts 16. He's in the inner cell, weighted down by chains. And one of the fellow prisoners mocked him and started to make fun of his God and his situation. And he said to Dr. Judson these words. He said, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? What about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? Again, to bring it up to date, he says, you're stuck in a prison cell. How are you going to reach the millions with the gospel? Your God's got his hands tied, hasn't he? You're locked up. You're weighed down. Judson's reply was instant. The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. I may be in a prison cell, but God hasn't changed. God is still on the throne. And no matter how dark and stormy our situations may be, God does not change. His word does not change. Well, after a period of time, Dr. Judson was let out of prison. And boy, did he impact that country. He translated the Bible in Burmese. He produced the very first Burmese dictionary, and he left behind a Christian community of about 500,000 people. Not bad. Not bad. Hey, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. And Paul writes this letter to these Ephesians while he himself is chained in a prison cell. And he says, God is still on the throne. He does not change. Let me show you a little video clip. I love that clip. First of all, you've got an atheist talking about a miracle. That's where he is, wasn't it? That plant wasn't dormant for 100 years. It was dead. Dead. If you'd gone like that, it would have just gone to brittle. And even the atheist has to say, hey, it's a miracle. We have the God of miracles. I've taken three funerals recently and I had to say to each one, look, you don't have to be a Christian to believe in resurrection. Just look out your window. Nature testifies of it all the time. And our God is able to do what? Hey, more than we can even imagine. Nothing is too possible for him. Even if something's been dead for 100 years, he can bring it to life like that with a drop of rain if he wants to. He's able to do what? Immeasurably more. I love that. Sometimes on the way home, I pop into Tesco's and Penny will look at me and say, why have you brought 10 of those? I say, because they're on special offer. Buy one, get one free. Or look at this one, 50% more. You've got to buy it while you've got 50% more. It's good economics. So we've got a load of stuff in the garage that one day we will use up. Here's the point, I guess. With God, you always get what you expect. You never get more because you don't need more. You just need God for who he is. The NIV says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more. The old King James says, exceedingly abundantly. It's a great expression, is it? Exceedingly. When I was a kid, the only time I heard the word exceedingly was Mr. Kipling on the tape. He makes exceedingly good cakes. You can have cakes from anywhere else, but his are the best. They're exceedingly good. And what Paul does here, he makes up a word. Scholars say he invents a word here that went into Greek language because he's using a kind of a double compound. It's like me saying incredibly incredible, extravagantly extravagant, awesomely awesome, outrageously outrageous, fantastically fantastical, infinitely infinite. And putting those two words together in the Greek language, he's invented a new word. Because there's not enough words to describe the God we follow. He is able to do immeasurably more and all we ask. That speaks of his generosity. I was preaching Sunday night on Psalm 23 in the Methodist Church. That was the reading for the day. And you have one of my favourite expressions, my cup overflows. Overflows. We have a God of abundance, don't we? You know, he didn't just make a bit of water, he made oceans and rivers of water. He didn't just make one kind of bird, he made thousands of species of birds, thousands of species of fish, thousands of plants, thousands of fruits. Did you know there are at least 6,000 varieties of beetles? Do you know why God made 6,000 varieties of beetles? He likes beetles. That's why he made them. He's a God who, hey, no two snowflakes are the same. They say every blade of grass is different. Wow. That's the God to whom we ask and pray. A God of variety and creativity. And he goes on to say, or imagine. I love that word, imagine. It's brilliant. See, I can imagine I can preach like Billy Graham. I can imagine you're actually still listening. Kids use that word. But, you know, when I was a kid, you might not know this, but I actually scored the winning goal in the cup final for Manchester United. Can you believe that? I scored it. It was a header. My boy, when he was little, he could put a hat on, pick up a stick, and he wasn't Arlo Curley anymore. He was Zorro. Imagination. It's boundless. The Apostle Paul says here, not only God can do what you ask, he can do what you can't even imagine. There's no limit to what God can do. Someone said this, by the way, I am glad that God is not limited by what I ask or think, because there are many times when my asking is lacking and my thinking is stinking. He's able to do more. And he goes on. It's a bit like Jimmy Cricket. You remember the Irish comedian? He used to say, come here, there's more. And they tell a joke and they say, there's more. And the Apostle Paul, all the way through this benediction, he says, come on, there's more, there's more. He's able to do according to the power that is at work within us. What is that power? We mentioned it on Sunday. It's dynamite. That's the word used in that little prayer for strengthening with power. Strengthening with dynamite. So when the obstacles are there, he blows them away. I have a cruel part of me that I like a bit of sarcasm. They say it's the lowest form of humour, but it is funny, isn't it? On camps and house parties, there's always one kid who, ooh. And one of my favourite insults, I can't use it too much these days, it's not politically correct. I used to say, look, if he had a brain cell, it would die of loneliness. You know, it kind of sums him up. And there was another insult that we used to use as kids. If your brains were dynamite, you wouldn't have enough to blow your hat off. Do you know, there are too many Christians who haven't got enough power to blow their Bibles open or their hats off. God wants to empower us if we'll let him. He wants to work in us, through us, for his glory, if we will trust him. Let me finish by giving you one final story. Herbert Jackson told us that he is a new missionary and he was assigned to take over from an older missionary. And when he arrived on the mission field, the older missionary said, great, here's the keys. He was retiring due to ill health. He said, there's a slight problem with the car. Often it won't start. So you need to leave the engine running if you pop in somewhere, or park it on a hill, or if I take a meeting or in a school, I get the locals to give me a push. So it's all yours. So the new missionary said, well, pop the bonnet, let's have a look underneath. So Herbert Jackson popped the bonnet, and when they looked underneath, the guy discovered there was a cable that was loose. And when he wiggled it and turned it, every time the key turned, the power connected. And of course, the application's simple, isn't it? Sometimes we have cables that are loose and we need just to connect again with the Lord and don't let things come along that take us away. Keep connected so that the power is there when we come to prayer. Let's pray. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.